2021 NHL Draft is in the books. The Calgary Flames had 7 picks coming in. They come out with 8 picks when it's all said and done. 1 in the first, 1 in the second, 2 in the third, 1 in the fifth, 2 in the sixth, and 1 in the seventh. Welcome back to our coverage as we continue along. And we say hello to the Director of Amateur Scouting for the Calgary Flames, our annual wrap-up of the NHL Draft with Todd Button. Mr. Button, congratulations on another one in the books. How you feeling after what was a long day too?
Mr. Steinberg, I'm feeling very well. Obviously, we're a very happy group in here. It's been a different year. It's been hard to put this big puzzle together, but I think I speak for my whole staff and the scouts and that we're happy about the way it went.
What was scouting for this draft? How would you describe it with all of the differences that went into it? How would you describe it, and how challenging was it for you and your staff?
Well, at the end of the day, when I look at it right now, it doesn't seem like it was that challenging, but it was. I mean, it was logistically, because you never knew when leagues were going to start up. Games were canceled. You had to be very careful with your travel, especially guys like myself going into States. And then there was one trip I had planned, just for example, early in the year where I had a 2-week trip, and right before I went, I ended up canceling it and because of a breakout in one of the leagues, and 13 of the 14 games were canceled. So that was a challenge, because you're starting to go and you're not starting to go. But overall, I would say it was a big puzzle to put together, to piece everything together from, you know, 24 games in the Western Hockey League and 3 different bubbles, four different bubbles, one in the States. And then you had the Quebec League. Again, you couldn't go into the Maritimes. They had their own bubble. And then the Quebec province had a bunch of bubbles. And again, there was a lot of start and stop there. And for us watching, it was, you know, we talked to the players a lot after. It was a lot of, like, how did you guys handle it, like, mentally? So I think it was, the kids learned some stuff about them. You know, you're preparing for a game. You know, you got 3 games in 3 days, and all of a sudden you have nothing for 2 weeks. So you have no choice but to adapt and find ways. So it was a bit of a puzzle, but I think we communicate a lot, and we learned some things about our staff, and maybe going forward, some things that we can do a little bit different to put the puzzle together in future years.
How, when it was all said and done, when you finalized your list and when you finished your final amateur scouting meetings and you were pretty comfortable with your working list coming into this weekend, how comfortable were you with your list this year as you would have been in other years that would have been more normal?
Well, I think I was comfortable with my list, and part of that is we have a pretty experienced staff. So we have guys that have been around, and our younger guys that have only been with us for maybe 2, 3, 4 years, we relied on them. And I think when you empower people, they want to step up and do the job, and I think that comes from Tree, right? He empowers us to get out there and do our job and do our thing. So I think having a bunch of experienced staff, especially like when I talk about like the Fred Parkers and the Rob Sumners and the Jimmy Cummins, that helps them run their people in their specific areas. So I think that's a factor in it. And, you know, 15 years ago when I was young and starting, I'm not sure it would have been as smooth as it was. But again, it was a lots of communication, lots of we found a couple different ways to do things in the future that our staff thinks is going to help us.
Tell us your reaction when you get another pick, when Brad traded down in round number 3 and got you an additional pick in round 6. What's the reaction from the scouting group when you get another pick?
Well, we were looking all day. Like, you're sitting at the table. You're not just checking names off. You don't turn your brains off at the table, so to speak. We're always looking for to add or to move up. We're monitoring our list. We're seeing who's there. So there were some situations where we had a bunch of players in groupings, and we're like, let's get more picks. Let's get more picks. And there was a couple situations where we said, let's go up and get somebody. Let's go up and get somebody. So, you know, at that point, when it came to making that decision, it was easy for us because we're adding another pick, but we had so many players we liked, and the guys were like there was nobody saying, oh, no, we don't need another pick. It was all, hey, I got a guy, I got 2 guys. So when you're in there, you're in that moment, you're like, okay, let's go. If the guys want more picks, I like more picks. So give me as many as I can. I'll take as many shots at it as I can. So it was exciting, and the guy we were going to get we're going to take an 84. We end up getting 89. So it wasn't a difference. And then we end up making more picks, right? So
yeah,
very, very beneficial for the staff.
So take me through that. So you have your guy at 84 and the trade is made, and I'm sure that you know that this is all happening, but are you nervous? Like, what's the feel? Because you wanted your guy at 84, you end up getting Cameron Why Not at 89, but like, is that nervous waiting to see if you're going to get him there? How nerve-wracking is that?
It wasn't at all, because it wasn't just Cam. And we're glad we got Cam. He was the lead guy in that group we had, but there was four other guys too, so we knew we were getting one of them. And then
okay.
So it's not, I mean, Cameron was a top guy in that group. He was the guy that we had targeted, but there was other good players. There was good players that were taken after us, obviously, at every pick we took. So that's part of the process, right? That's when you decide to move down five spots and pick up a pick. You have to have all those five spots covered. You have to know what you're going to get with each of those picks. Cameron could have gone the next pick, and then we had to move on. But our scouts were comfortable that we were going to get a player that we really liked.
Let's go through the picks. Todd Button is with us, Director of Amateur Scouting for the Calgary Flames. Take us back to last night and your 13th overall selection. Matthew Coronato is the guy. He goes at number 13 overall. Tell us why you liked him so much and the excitement level about adding him to the organization.
Well, I'll answer the second part first. Like, the excitement level sky high. Like, this is a guy that is a talented offensive player that can score and create offense in a variety of ways. He's not just a rusher or create off a booming shot, a one-timer. He scores with deflections. He scores off the cycle. He can beat guys one-on-one. He can make plays off the rush. He can find guys. It's just he's got a variety of plays, and he's got a big motor, and he wants to score. He's hungry to score. He's hungry to create plays. And, he's I wouldn't say he's underrated defensively. He killed penalties for that team in Chicago, but as you progress up the ladder, it gets harder and harder to play a complete 200-foot game. But this guy has all the tools and the hunger to add to his game, so it's kind of, I don't want to say no-brainer, but he's got all the pieces to be a really good player in the NHL. It's going to take all his development, his work, and he's been on a good path through the last couple of years since he came on our radar. And when you can add that, especially considering how hard right shot skilled players are defined, mm-hmm. it intersected with the need and the talent level. So again, we were super happy. It was it kind of unfolded like we thought it was, but it was we were really happy to get Matthew there.
How NHL ready is he?
It's I'm not going to say he's NHL ready right now. He's gonna add to his game. He's gonna add to his development physically. We know mentally that he's a real strong kid. He's got a real good insides. So we have no concerns, but the NHL is a hard game to play, and it's a hard game to play when you're a young player. So not going to play in the NHL this year. He's going to go to Harvard, and then we're going to just continue that path. And he's a late birthday, so he's a little bit older, and then we'll take it year by year. That's the plan with him right now. It's not 1 year. It's not 2 years. If you were to ask me right now, I'd say 2 years. But
okay.
There's no guarantees, right? There's setbacks, there's accelerations. He's going to go to the camp in Ann Arbor. He's there right now playing, so he's going to get the experience at that World Junior camp. And so we're just going to keep watching him develop. We're not going to put any pressure on him and get him in situations he hasn't been in before. And hopefully he can get to the NHL as fast as he can, but ready to play, not just there because we need a body or something like that.
Calgary Flames Director of Amateur Scouting Todd Button is with us following the 2021 NHL Draft here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Will?
Todd, just one final one on Matthew, because we've been kicking around the last couple of days, and I would love your take on it. Specifically, that Chicago team, I believe there were six or seven drafted over the last 2 days. They obviously won the championship. It's a really strong program. How much value does that, or do you put into that in terms of playing on a good team and being on a championship-level team at a program like Chicago? How valuable is that to your group?
It's really valuable. It's they have a program and that you put in place that covers everything that an NHL team would, right? So it's development, it's skill development, it's eating habits, it's off ice, it's nutrition, it's mental coaches. That program, obviously players want to play there. So you get that. Then you get the top players who want to play that. And they got more top players coming. It's not over for them. So it all goes hand in hand with development. And I think that's why when you can track a guy like that over 2 years and they're winning championships, like learning how to win is not an easy thing. It's not easy in the NHL. It's not easy at the junior level. So it's really valuable. And you know what? When you're playing with good players, that helps your game, right? You see guys that when they play with skilled players, their game develops. There was another kid taken from that team who was a fourth liner last year, and all of a sudden he's a top player, and he ends up being a second round pick. So it's invaluable. There's nothing like that. Development part of hockey is so important. And you know, if you're on in a weaker program in any league, in junior and college, it might take those talented players a little longer. So the more talent, the more you have resources available to make your game better the players are going to be.
You went to Sweden for your second round pick. William Stromgren is the pick at number 45 overall. How much did his performance at the U18s kind of elevate him on your list, Todd?
Actually, we didn't think he was great at the under-18s, but he got better as the tournament went on, for sure. And when he got there, the thing about William is he's a little raw experience-wise. He's a talented kid with his skill and his hands, and he loves to handle the puck and practice with the puck. So all the stuff, all our background on him was like, this kid really, he's skilled, he makes plays, he can carry the puck, he's rangy, he's got reach, he's elusive. But, you know, he started off in the bottom four forwards there, and then he worked his way up. So gaining that experience, even though it wasn't perfect for him, the Swedes didn't have a great tournament. They were better at the end than they were at the start. But gaining that experience, that's what I'm talking about, the raw experience. Mm-hmm. Gaining that experience at that level internationally is just going to help elevate his next level. He sees playing against all the top players in the world where he is compared to them, and he knows the work now that he has to do to get to that level. So it's not a quick path for him, but now he's gone from a small town in northern Sweden. Now he's going to a SHL town in Rögle. He's going to have a chance to make that team. So, you know, he's there training and getting everything in place to put his best foot forward to make that team. So it's just it's a path. It's a development path for him. So we're excited about him. We liked him before. But it's the one thing about this year is we tried to stay away from recency bias or trying to put too much emphasis on a 1 or 2 week period where a guy could be bad or he could be good. So he was fine. He got better as the tournament went on. But we were pretty excited about him before the tournament, and equally excited today that we got a guy who we think is very talented at the 40-45 spot.
You had two picks in the third round, as Pat mentioned. You traded down for the second one at 89, but first at 77, you take Cole Hawkins from Acadie Bathurst of the T10, a rebuilding team, a guy who had a bigger role here in year number two, but again, a shortened season, a weird one in the QMJHL. Tell us about Cole Hawkins at 77 overall.
Well, Cole's a big, he's a tall, rangy guy. He's got to work on his mobility a bit. That's part of his training. And he's a little bit, he's awkward on his skates right now. But he's got room to grow. He's got room to get bigger and stronger. And we'll get our skating coach in there with him. What he's got is a nasty disposition to get to the net and create scoring chances. And he's hard to handle down low. He's hard to handle in front of the net. He's got sneaky quick hands, and he's a sneaky playmaker. This is probably the picks where we started going more and depending on our area guys, because they'd seen these guys more and they had a history with them. I mean, Cole was a high pick in the Quebec draft, so we've watched him for a couple of years, but we didn't get to see him as much as we want live, just because of the different levels of access to the Maritimes this year. Mm-hmm. But through the area scout and through our stuff that we knew from previous, like, we were really excited about what this guy's potential is and the work ethic to get to be a rangy guy that can score and be physical and add some size and weight to the wing.
Cameron Wynot was your pick at 89. You mentioned to Pat that you had a group of guys you liked at 84, weren't too worried about who would end up at 89, but Cameron was the top of that list. What do you like about the Halifax Mooseheads defender?
Excuse me. His mobility, his puck-moving ability, his skating ability. He's got some physical development to do, but everything we watch when we watch him is that he's got a ceiling. He's got some room to get better offensively. He's got room to make more plays. We watched some games where this guy played 30, 32 minutes, and he played with a real good player, Justin Barron. So they were on the ice a lot, and part of our evaluation was that he did less offensively because, you know, the energy just wasn't going to be there night to night when you're playing that much. But we think there's more there offensively, and we think as he adds some strength and more weight to his game, then it's going to help him. He's never going to be a killer defensively or aggressive, but we think it can help him be more assertive and stronger and plays in one-on-one situations quicker than he does at this point.
We talked to Cole Jordan on the phone, and the one thing he said was that his skating was the best part of his game. He waited around a little bit till pick 141, the first one in the fifth round for your group. Tell us about the Moose Jaw defender, and what do you like about Cole Jordan's game?
Well, I only saw him once, and so again, area scouts, Darren Kruger, really liked this guy. And again, he goes back to when he was an underage and how he progressed into the bubble this year. He grew, I think, 2 inches, added some muscle to his game. He's a really good skater. Krug's told us, like, he's not going to ever run a power play, but he's going to get better offensively. He's going to get more mature handling the puck and making plays in the offensive zone. Right now, he has a real good identity as a stay-at-home defender first that can skate. And then once you have that identity built and once you have that base, now you can add to your game. So that's what the plan is, and the potential for Cole to add to his offensive game while maintaining a real good, strong defensive base.
Tell us about Jack Beck, who you took from Ottawa in the sixth round.
You know, I said before the draft that your area scouts are going to play a big role in this, and especially in the Ontario League where you didn't get a lot of viewings. So there was a bunch of OHL guys who we really liked, and we thought we could steal a couple guys maybe that other people didn't know. And I'm not saying we stole Jack Beck, because I certainly know that a lot of teams knew about him, but that was the case with Jack, that he didn't play this year, so we rely again. Area scouts, Terry Dorn, guys have a history in knowing what guys are about, so it was not a hard decision for us to take Jack. I've seen him play a little bit last year, and as an underage, he played in a real, real good team, so he didn't play as much as a regular underage would, and also I think he played more wing, and we see him as a center slash wing. So overall, we're really looking forward to working with this kid and helping him get to another level.
Well, you just talked about it, Todd. It's very similar to what I asked you about Coronado in terms of played on a real good 67s team in the last full season. If they hadn't been shut down, that could have been the Ontario Hockey League champions.
100%. And that would have been great for a kid like Jack Buck, and maybe he's a third or second rounder instead of where we got him. So, like I said, it's a good program that James Boyd runs there in Ottawa, and one of our old coaches, Dave Cameron's going there. So that's a perfect guy to help Jack with the minutia of the game that's going to help him get better and be a reliable player, not only for the 67s, but down the road for the Calgary Flames.
You almost went back-to-back on picks. You went Jack Beck from OHL Ottawa, and five picks later, you went Lucas Siona from Seattle in the Western League. What attracted your group to him?
Ruggedness, skating ability, and untapped offensive potential. And I'm not talking about end-to-end rushes or fancy skill plays. I'm talking about hard-nosed, get to the net, create space for your line mates. And he's got good hands and tight, and he's going to score a little bit more than he did this year as he keeps moving along. Great attitude, great mentality. We're not going to have to get him to use his body or coax him into using it. It's natural for him, and he's a good skater with size and some untapped offensive ability that we think is going to contribute to the hard parts of the game and the later parts of the game when you need some, when it's hard to get to the net, when you're looking at and you're watching the Stanley Cup Finals, there's guys that they make it hard on the other team's defensemen and goalies and getting to the net. And this guy, we think he has room to grow and improve his skill, but we like his base player assets, and we think that's the biggest part that we drafted him, as well as the fact that, again, our area scouts were really high on him, and they wanted him a lot earlier, but as the draft unfolded, it became apparent that they weren't going to let us not take him at some point.
Yeah. And finally, for a third straight year, a goaltender. For a second straight year, a goaltender out of Russia, Todd. But this one scouted, at least this past year, in North America, playing in Shreveport. Tell us about Arseniy Sergeyev, and hopefully saying that close to correctly. But Arseniy Sergeyev, your seventh round pick this year between the pipes.
Yeah, so, we started that Jordan Siglett in the goalie department last year with Thomas Spear, and then we got Barbs with the big team coaching the NHL guys, and we we heard about him. We watched him on video a little bit, and then we had a chance to, when we were at the under-18s, Thomas came down with us to do some goalie evaluation, and they were playing in Texas, and he got to go see him and then go see him live. So it it really helped the evaluation for Thomas to see him live and to put some, again, pieces of the puzzle together. Jordan continued to watch him on video, and Thomas continued to watch him on video. And then, you know, he's a raw goalie that they really like. This is a goalie department pick. We didn't see him. None of the scouts saw him. It was pure Jordan and Thomas. But they like the fact that he's raw and that he's a worker and that he's got ability to get better. He's on a good path for us. It excited. Excited is probably not the right word, but strategy-wise, it made sense. You know, he's going to go play in the USHL next year for a year, then off to college. So he's a long-term goaltender, and we're excited about the fact that we've added, like, Dustin Wolf's coming out now, and then we added Chechelov last year, and he's maybe 1 or 2 years before he comes over, and then now you have a guy long-term. So we're sort of checking some boxes as we go, you know, 22, 24, 25 down the road, and with our goaltenders.
Final thought, how excited are you to, fingers crossed, hopefully be back to a normal scouting year starting maybe this summer and definitely next fall?
Yeah, I'm really super excited about it. I'm off to Detroit tomorrow and then back to Calgary next week because Canada's got some camps there. So it's going to start early for us. Hope it can continue. I hope we get things back to normal, not just for the scouting staff, but for everybody, so teams can get back and we can get this great sport going again live.
Well, hopefully we can do this post-draft interview both in the same building in Montreal next year, Todd. That would be the hope, I think, for everybody. Not so much so that you can see me, but just so that you're in a building and not doing this virtually next year.
That'd be great, and then we can share a beer in Montreal somewhere. I sure they have some spots.
Yeah, I've heard there's a couple. Thank you, Todd. Great stuff, as always.
Thanks, guys.